This morning we have the privilege of having George Muhammad with us. We have supported him in his ministry there in Trinidad and Tobago for quite a number of years. I know many of you here know George and his wife Angela and have known them for a long time, and some of you have probably even been on trips down to Trinidad and Tobago. So if you're here this morning and you've been on a trip down to Trinidad, do you mind to raise your hand for us more and see how many of you? That's quite a bit of hands. Great. So I know many of you know him. Some of you, may just be getting to know George this morning, but it's great to have him come and share about his life and his ministry this morning. So Brother George, come and share with us.
Good morning.
You
got to wake up, right? Can't sleep in church. It's good to be here. You notice I'm changing. Things are happening to me. I've already reached 70. I haven't reached 70 years yet. 70, I like that. Some people don't know what that is, and that's great. But the Lord has been good to us. And thank this church. First thing I want to do is thank this church for their support in the ministry in Trinidad. When you support us, you'll be surprised how many ministries are affected by that support. Over the years, I pastored the Chaguanas Fundamental Baptist Church in Chaguanas, Trinidad, at Central. Today, I'm now the director of Fundamental Baptist Mission, and so I have 8 churches to deal with, and that's not easy dealing with people. But God has been good. The ministry has gotten, should I say, pretty tough. We just look at a video. It's not easy to give the gospel out. People don't want God. As simple as that. Generally speaking, people don't want God. Now, if you think that when you come to church, everybody in the church is saved, think again. If you think that everybody in the church wants God, think again. Now, I'm a real straightforward guy, so I'll tell you as it is. Maybe by the time I'm done, you may not like me, but that's all right. If God loves me, my wife loves me, that's good enough. I don't have a problem. And you shouldn't have a problem when you love God. It doesn't matter who don't love you. They didn't love God. And he was crucified. They say, give us Barabbas. And people are still saying that by their actions. But we have a privilege of sharing the gospel. I was sharing with a preacher. When COVID came, that was of the devil. It had to be of the devil. I was in America at the time. And I was in Tennessee. I have a doctor friend there that was checking me out. I get everything checked for free. That's God. And so I come. And while I was there, one of the men in our church called me and said, you have to come home. I said, why? He said, COVID. I said, who is that? I don't know what is COVID. And so you're telling me about COVID. They said that they are shutting down the airport midnight tomorrow night. And I still had 2 weeks over there. I told the doctor's wife where I'm staying. I was staying with the doctor. And I said, hear what? I need to get to the airport. I've never packed my suitcase so fast in my life. Throw everything in. Zip it. Let's go. Reached the airport and they said, the woman said, I can take you to Miami, from Tennessee to Miami, but you can't get to go home until tomorrow. So what do you want me to do? Sleep in the airport? No way. So I said, what's the next flight? In the morning, 5:45. I said, great, I'll be there. And so 5:45, I left on that flight for Miami. Got on another flight at 10:40. I was in Trinidad at 2:30. airport closed at midnight. Hundreds of people from Trinidad got stuck in America and other parts of the world for 2 years and couldn't go home. Some of them lived on your street. But there was a lot of God's people around that was able to help. That wasn't nice. To be out, and then they closed the churches. Closed the church. You can't go in the church. And so people got accustomed, those who got accustomed with Zoom, so you could be on Zoom, and then, and the Zoom people remained Zoom people, never came back. Few came back. Crippled our church. That's when you know that where people's heart really is. Are you for God or are you for what the devil has to offer? So our church gets hit bad, but we are still alive. I always preach and teach that God would use the remnant to do great things. Always. And so we got back with our remnant and we are working to rebuild our church. It's not easy. Pray for us as we endeavor to do so. And then I'm not only working with one church. I'm pastoring at least 2 churches, so because the other one, the pastor died, had to take over. Within the process of time, I trained 3 guys who are running that church now. Because I can't run all over the place. Remember, I'm no spring chicken. But I'm able to share truth. There is another problem that we are facing with young pastors. Young pastors. They have a new way of doing things. My way is this. If it's not in the Bible, no way. It's as simple as that. This is the book that helps us. If you notice, my book got bigger. I have problems with my eyes too. And so I met another friend of mine. He told me, he said, come on. And before I came, he made an appointment. I got to see, since on this trip, I got to see a specialist. He said, you have a little cataract in both eyes. I said, so what does that mean? He said, well, you need to visit me in a year's time. I said, well, if Jesus come or he calls me home, I wouldn't be here. Sorry. And they organized and they gave me new lens, which will be sent to me in Elbeau, because I'm still using the old ones. Now I can see you. Don't worry. I can see you. You all look great. Whatever great is. You know? But thank God for that. So there's a lot of things happening. But in Trinidad, let's talk about Trinidad. I saw some people in Trinidad that I never saw before. Yeah, they look great. You know? But in Trinidad, sharing the gospel has become a fact that we must depend, totally depend on God for that gospel to go forth. We can't depend on self. Self can't do anything. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthened me. That's it. That's it for you here, any part of the world, whether it's Colombia or where, it's Christ. Those people are not protected because they did something good. They are protected because God protected them. You are protected. That great guy that we honored, it was God working in and through him. And unless when we speak, we don't mention God first, we are wrong. People testify and talk about what they have done. Don't quit saying what you have done. Quit. You need to say, because of what God has done in me and through me, I was able to. Now, I'm a guy like people to speak right. I question when you say things and leave God for last. Make it a practice to say it first. All right? So ministry is going on. Do you know that when I got saved, which was about 48 years ago, that's a long time. I'm getting old. All right, I didn't realize that. All the preachers I met in Fundamental Baptist Mission, all them right now have died. And they left George Muhammad. So it's a new breed of preachers now that we are training. And pray that they would really settle on what God's Word says. It forces me now to, in January, I'll be starting online a course on spiritual leadership. We have too many leaders who have degrees, doctorate, all kind of thing they have, but they're not spiritual. We need preachers who would depend on Christ to lead them to do the job. Otherwise, we will have a secular church, a church that will take anything and think God has to take what you offer. No, God doesn't have to take what you offer. You have to offer God what He wants. That may sound like hard preaching, but that's how I like to preach. I preach that way, I live that way, and God has blessed me. Talking about my wife, that's a rough one. It was touch and go just a couple months ago. She looked at me and she said this. Hear what she said. Hon, it seems as though this is it. Well, I do what I do best. I went into my prayer closet. I didn't answer. I didn't say a word. I had to talk to God. Is it true what she is saying? That's how I started my prayer. Is it true what she is saying? Because in ministry, I don't know about other preachers. In ministry, I need my wife. I need my wife. And so God heard me. And He preserved her life. She's doing much better now. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. I'm here to report. Thank you for your prayers. But continue to pray. Because last year, she visited our daughter in Maryland. And she got a heart attack. This year, she got what we call dengue. And she hadn't recovered from the heart attack properly. So that created a problem. And your preacher would know much about dengue and all these things. You know, it's not nice. That's why I don't like mosquitoes. Keep them out of the house. Right? So what I did with my home, I screened the windows. I screened the air can come in, but no mosquitoes, please. You need to put up a little sign. No mosquitoes allowed. But it's not all the mosquitoes. It's just one breed of mosquito that causes the dengue. But you can lose your life. Your platelets started to drop. And the doctors wanted to know. This is where I get my chance to straighten doctors. They wanted to know how she's still alive. I said, what kind of foolish question is that? Right? She's alive because God is keeping her alive. Nobody is alive unless God keeps them alive. Come on, what are you people? You don't believe in God? And just how you see me speak here, that's how I speak in the hospital. Everybody hears. Why? Because I want them to hear. We seem to listen to politicians more than we listen to God. You just had voting. Listen to me. Whoever win, God put them there. It's just as people, listeners, I don't know if you believe this or not, but people get who they deserve. generally speaking. But you know whom you serve. And when it don't matter who gets in power, God is going to protect you. You don't always get what you pray for. You know that, right? And many of us don't even know how to pray. That's a problem. We are Christians. I'm not questioning your salvation. But I want to also share a couple things. My time, I am a guy that always runs out of time. Eh? All right. But I want to share a couple things about a good memory. I'm not talking about us who are going down in age and we forget. That's not what I'm talking about. That's a normal thing. But even those people that are going down in age and forgetting, there are things that they would remember. So I'm running churches without pastors. That means we have just set up a little group of men that will work as a committee to make sure that the pulpit is filled. Then we have to work about local training young men. And we can't train a young man for ministry if God didn't call him. That's a dangerous thing. So we have work to do before we even start training them for ministry. So we share salvation, yes, they get saved, we disciple them, and we help them as they grow. It's a long process. If you put them in the pulpit too early, you could end up in trouble. But people think that's the way to go. I don't believe that. I believe there is a time for everything and place too for everything. So God knows exactly who He wants. Let's pray that He will let us know who that one is. I'm hoping that by next year, I can give up the pastorate there at Shagwanas. I'm not leaving the church. The guy that we are looking to have must come in. And we're not going to just bring him in and let him loose. No, he's coming and he's going to work with us for a couple months. Have a smooth transition where he takes over. And then I sit where the pastor and them is sitting there, you know, and listen. If he wants me to preach, I'll preach. Anything he wants me to do, I'm humble enough to do it. I've done my part. Give it to somebody else. I'm sure the church doesn't have to build a building. When Johnson Chapel started coming to Trinidad, we first had a tent for church. I remember the then pastor, Mr. John King, up to yesterday, I saw him. And I told him one day, he stayed with us at our home, and I said, we are taking you out to dinner. He said, fine. So he jumped in the little car that we had. You know, you have to pray before you go in that car, because it was, let's leave the car alone. So we reached the church. You know, he said, we are stopping here before we go to, I said, no, you're having dinner right here. This is where the tent is at. And so when he entered the tent, he realized that that's where dinner would be served. That's our church. That's what we have. That's what we use. We had weddings. We have funerals. We have everything. Crusades. Everything at the tent. That's what we got. We use it. We didn't have a fancy building. In this church, in Elview Baptist, in Elview, and Bible Baptist in Danville, were three churches that came together and bought us a little small church. Size of the church, I think, was 48 by 24. That was church. Prefab building. I put down the slab. I can do construction. So I put down the slab. The building came in a 40-foot container. And we put up the building in one day. Church. New Year's Day, church. So what we call Old Year's Day, put up the building for church on New Year's Day. And we had traffic jam because people wanted to know what kind of madness is taking place. A building in one day? Yes. We used the church until it reached, we ended up putting 100 people in that building. So you know what happened. Some heads were outside the window. You know? You didn't have nice seats like this. And No. We didn't have that. Once you can get in, count yourself privileged to be inside. If you come late, you're in trouble. You can use your umbrella on the outside. But we were having a ball. God was working. You know what? Came a day, I told them, I said, we need to do something about this. Right? We're going to start to build. They said, but we only have $300,000 TT dollars. No, that's not money. You divide that by six, call it seven. Divide that by seven and you see how much US dollars we have. It's not going to build a building. The building already cost us over $1 million TT. And we haven't finished it as yet. And we are not worried about that. COVID came, lost people, funds went down, but we're still preaching the gospel. I took the building down, and a missionary from America that was preaching in Trinidad, he's from, I can't remember exactly where in West Virginia, but he's from West Virginia. That's where our base is at. Here we have our U.S. board in West Virginia. That's why I mentioned so much about West Virginia. And I hear people saying all kind of cruel things about West Virginians, and I put them in their place. I'm very serious about that. I put them in their place. One guy saw me with a hat with West Virginia in it, and I'm in South Carolina. He walks up to me and he said, brother, I would like to help you. I say, in what way? He said, the hat. I said, what's wrong with the hat? He said, we have on the wrong hat. I said, if you have the right hat, I'll put it on. He walked away. What's wrong with people? We don't treat people as people. We treat people as though they are animals. In fact, we treat animals better than we treat people. It's happening all over the world. It's not only here. It's happening all over the world, even in our own country. We had a dog, and I saw my wife brought home a shampoo for the dog. I watched the price. I watched the price of mine. I said, could I borrow his? Come on. The things for the dog is more expensive than the things for the human. I said, what is going on? But people, God worked. I put up the church, took it down, put it up for another church. Today they are doing great. They didn't have to pay a cent because we didn't pay for it. It cost us nothing. It cost the three churches I mentioned $11,000 to bring to back, get the church, bring it in, and then the company that sent the church sent one guy, and we had 14 other guys that worked with this one guy and put up the church. Then when it was all done, this one guy took us to the Hilton Hotel, where none of us never went, to have dinner. I said, my, we live it up. We tried to get on our best outfit to go to Hilton and sit down and eat as much as you could eat. You know? Well, that day we had to ask God for forgiveness, you know, because we really ate. But the work in Trinidad is still going on. You all may not know, but we started another work. And we use a local missionary to start it. Now that's what we're talking about. My push right now is that instead of missionaries coming into Trinidad, we need to be sending missionaries out of Trinidad. And I'm trusting that God will do great things, you know. So our local missionary is doing great. In fact, our local missionary has taken on two churches. I just tell you, and he's supported right there in Trinidad. All the churches, and even churches of like faith, not only the fundamental churches, but what I have done is sort of come up with a fellowship agreement that all these churches who believe the same thing, we can be in one body and support each other, and that's exactly what we do. And it's working perfectly well, and I praise God for it. So all in all, there's so much I can tell you. All in all, God is working. Thank you for your input in Trinidad and Tobago. Trinidad and Tobago is one state, two islands, one state. All right? And you can take Trinidad and put it anywhere in America, in any state, and get it lost. Right? We have 1.5 million people right now, plus all the Spanish that came from Venezuela. Just now I have to learn Spanish, because every time I turn around, that is a Spanish. Spanish, Spanish. So what I've done, I've got Spanish tracts. And so we have one lady in church. She knows Spanish. I say, well, all right, you'll interpret. We bring them in, and you can interpret to them. So God is working. Thank you for that. I was speaking to our dear preacher yesterday, and I said, you know, there are more people in the church, I'm sure, that doesn't know me. I wasn't able to turn right around just now to see all those who went to Trinidad. Could I see it again? All right. Good. Now, how many of you actually know me? You have seen me before, we have talked, you know me. I know me, so I raise my hand. All right, so it's, a lot of people doesn't. And I want to say something about my testimony quickly. My testimony is long, I could take, but I'm not going to go through that. But there's a portion of it that I want to share with you. When you walk the street and you see homeless people, don't shun them. I beg of you, don't shun them. I was homeless, living on the street. And the lay preacher of the church that I eventually got saved in walked up to me and offered me a bowl of soup. Since that, I like soup. Give me soup. Now you ask me what I want soup. So you want soup for the... Yes, I want soup for breakfast, for lunch and dinner. That's all right. I like soup. So, you offered me the soup. I was sitting under a grocery, supermarket. I sat right there. I drank my soup. He asked me if I want another. Yes, sir. He offered me it. I got rid of that too. And then he turned to me and he said, would you like to go live with me? I mean, I was on the street, but I wasn't dumb enough. So I start thinking. I'm that kind of person. You speak to me and I take a little while to answer you because I'm thinking. What should I say? You know, you have to think before you speak. And I was thinking maybe you needed somebody that could be a little slave in his house and use me, you know, to do all his chores. But then I thought about it. I said, you know, why not just give it a try and see what happens? I didn't know the man was a Christian. And so I told him yes. When he took me to his home, I saw he had 8 children. So here comes the 9th. And he is able to support all. Well, I made the Guinness Book a record. I had the longest bath in the world. Yes, it took me a long time to get out there, but all that lovely shampoo and all those things that I didn't see for 3 years. Yes, I had a great bath. Then I came out, they had new clothes for me. Wow, this is heaven now. Then I saw the banquet table. Food like that. I didn't know anything about holding hands and praying. I didn't know nothing about that. You know, my grandfather came from India. And he was an imam. And so he was teaching me the language. But then he had this bad habit of bawling at me, you know. And I don't like people bawl at me. If you have something to say, take your time and say it. I'll listen. You know, but why are you bawling at me, you know? So, I left him. I tell him I'm done. And I'm gone. So, the man treated me well. Him and I built a nice room where he said, that's where you would live. He went to the American store, bought furniture, bed, wardrobe, all sorts of things, bring it, put it in the room. That's my home. Now, are you all hearing me? What a man that doesn't know me. He don't know if I'm some criminal on the street. Took me into his home. And he's treating me as though I'm his own child. And I was about 17, you know, at that time. You know. Then I realized he has 5 acres of land, 5 acres of land that he's planting up, and that's how they get produce and sell it and all of this. And he said, you work with me and whatever we sell, your portion, I'll put it in an account in the bank. That would be for you for later days. You don't have to pay for anything in this house. That is a Christian I'm talking about. The Christian life may cost you. May cost you. And I developed that. And all the support I get out of it, much of it goes to helping people. I haven't changed over the 48 years. I still do it. People need the Lord, but people need food too. They need shelter. I've helped people build their homes. And since God saved me, He gifted me with the ability to build homes. I built our church. 2 floors. I said, I've given you a church that you don't have to worry about space. We have place for Sunday school rooms, everything. When we have VBS, the amount of kids that come, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. So we thank God for that too. So there it is. I was on the street. God took me off the street. He gave me a real life. It took 8 months after the guy took me off the street before I came to know Christ. Missionary was preaching. His name was Bill Medlin. Yeah. And while he was preaching, I got up, walked the aisle and came and stand there. And he was telling one of the guys in the church to remove me. He think I was some mad guy. And then an old lady in the church, thank God for all the people that are aging and they still love the Lord and serving the Lord. She stood up and she said, he's not mad, he needs the Lord. 8 months we have been praying for him. And then the lay preacher that took me off, he was the lay preacher that took me off the street. Eh? He took me aside and I told him, I said, I know exactly what you're going to say to me. I went through the whole plan of salvation for myself. Prayed, came back out, and that was the end of that guy's service, preaching. Nobody really wanted to hear him again. In fact, he had 2 more nights and they told him, wrap up. Wrap up. That's how dread it could be for preachers, you know, when they do foolish things. And we had a ball, you know why? Because in 20 years, no male got saved in that church. Hey, we thank God for the females that get saved, but we need the males to get saved too. I preached a message a couple of weeks ago in our church. I said, God is calling men, but the women are answering. The men won't answer, so the women are answering. And they're becoming preachers. I have nothing against women. I believe that women have their role in the church. No church, a church without women will suffer. Right? It will suffer. Everybody has work to do. You see those ladies, how they make that beautiful thing for the guy? Yeah? Give the men to make it, no? And see what you get. They will go in the store and buy something and bring it. That is how it is. We need all. So I will stop there on that. If I had more time, we would have done that. We'll try it. Next time we'll try a day. Right? Take a day. Have a great ball. We eat, drink, come back again, get some more. But there is so much we can talk about. So much. God has been good. Continue to pray for us. Thank you for your support. And may God bless you all here at Johnson Chapel. You know this whole thing started with Jimmy Jones with me, right? I met Jimmy. Jimmy came to Trinidad. I was amazed with Jimmy. This is what I got. Jimmy came to preach for a week. And here Jimmy has this little Bible like that. No notes. I have notes. But he has no notes. And he has his little Bible and he's opening it. Listen, this man is unbelievable. And before he died, I was up here. And he said, you know, you want books? I said, yes. And I shipped books to Trinidad. Jimmy's books to Trinidad. And a lot of books. Right? So, thank God for Jimmy. Thank God for Pastor John King. And thank God for the preacher you have now. Don't forget to pray for your preachers. You all heard me, right? You're a quiet group of people. Really notice I'm not a quiet person, eh? You know? Well, you're a quiet group of people. You know, I would be sitting in the pew there and something was happening. And I'd go, amen! And everybody knows it's George. But God has been good. I want to share something quickly with you. How much time do I have remaining? Be honest with me, eh? About 2 minutes? 2 minutes? All right. You're laughing. You're not honest? Is he laughing and not honest with me? All right. Hear what I want. If I take 5, you're not going to throw me out, right? We, as we get older, say that our memory goes. We don't remember as much. But I want to share with you this morning, very quickly, that you need to have a good memory. And you can have a good memory. So let's turn to the book of 2 Peter. Quickly. I'm reading, and you know I'm not going to wait on you too much, right? You need to do some sword drills so you can get into the Bible fast. Alright? But there in 2 Peter, I want to show you the spiritual value of a good memory. What you need to remember. And remember, the old devil doesn't want you to remember. So he's going to create things that God doesn't want you to remember. The devil is telling you, you need to remember. So there in the book here it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 9 to 15, says, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always, listen, in remembrance of these things. Though ye know them, and be established in the present truth, yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus had showed me. Moreover, I will endeavor that he may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. Now, go to chapter 3. The first 2 verses. This is 2 Epistle, beloved. I know right unto you, in both which I stir you up, put your minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. So use it to stir your people, that they may remember the truth. All right. So what will God have you to remember? God will have us remember all His great goodness to us. God wants you to remember that. His tender mercies and His faithfulness. God wants us to remember all those things of the past which can be profitable to us and useful to us to comfort us. And He also will have us remember all those things in our lives of others, which will help us to understand and to love them better. Now, when you look at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we can go through 2 Peter, there are some things, and I'm only giving you the points, right, so that you understand what I'm saying. In 2 Peter, that same 2 Peter, the Bible is showing us some things. It's showing us here. You know why? Because the devil doesn't want you to remember it, and God wants you to remember it. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 9, it tells us this. He has purged us from our sins. You know that, right? God has purged. You know what it is to purge? You know what it is to purge? When God purged you, He's taking out the old and putting in the new. That's what is happening. Not only that, in verse 3, He has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We have to remember that. In verse 3 also, He has called us to glory and virtue. More than that, the Bible tells us in verse 4, He has given us exceeding great and precious promises by which to live the Christian life. And so I base my living the Christian life upon the promises of God. God promises, God cannot lie, He's no liar, and if God said it, He's going to do it. That's how we have to live. More than that, He has provided a means whereby we may live lives of usefulness. We have too many Christians that are not useful. They attend church? Yes. They are faithful in church? Yes. But how useful are you to your Heavenly Father? Try going visitation and see how many people come. Try saying, all right, we're going to have dinner after church. All pews are full because we're having dinner. Food. But we need to be sharing spiritual food to people. We need to remember who the Lord is. He has done so much for us. So hear what? What are we to remember about the Lord Himself? One, we need to remember that He is the one who came out of glory, out of heaven, to do His Father's will. We need to remember that He is the one who is truly the Son of God, in whom the Godhead is perfectly enshrined and expressed. We need to remember the one who foretold the martyrdom of His beloved, our servant Peter. We need to remember the one of whom the scriptures always speak. This Bible is not about you and I. This Bible is about God. And we have to fit in there based on what God is saying and teaching us. And lastly, two things in particular are mentioned in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. In the last days, and we are in the last days, we're going to have scoffers. They're laughing at us. Don't be worried when people laugh at you. What are you worried about? You just do what God would have you to do. That's it. And don't worry about what they think. Scoffers in the last days. Yeah? But also, and I close with this, God will have the last word. Everybody in here could say amen to that. God will have the last word. Amen, amen. And as former days, He will again send judgment upon the earth. So I am saying to you Christians, live right. Live right. Because when judgment comes, you don't want to be part of that. I know we will be judged, but we will be judged separately from the world. I don't have any problems with that. No matter what happened in this world, you know that to be absent from this body is to be present with God. And my God is so pleased with the ones who know Him and love Him and serve Him. And so, judgment is coming. So 2 Peter chapter 3 verses 17 and 18, it is wonderful to know that we have divine helper. We sang it this morning. We have a divine helper to stir and to refresh our memories. You know, I thank God that at 3 score and 10, I still have a good memory. How many of you practice a scripture every day, trying to memorize it? Every day. I do that with our church. At least they need to learn one verse for the whole week when they come Sunday. So I give the verse, and by next Sunday you come, we start off with the verse. I have a verse for you all. So next time I come back, you have all that time till I come back the next time. And don't stay home because you didn't learn it. Right? You know what the Bible teaches, right? Who can tell me where this verse is found? I'm not going to say where it's found. I'm going to quote it. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, and He gave Himself for me. Where is found? I'm waiting. One person needs to say it. You can't go home until I get it. Nobody?
Galatians 2:20.
What's that? Look in your Bibles, people. Come on. I am crucified. Galatians chapter what?
2.
2 and verse 20. Now you got it. Everybody got that? Great. Well, now I can tell you you can go home. Hey, it was a privilege of mine to share with you. There is much. Maybe when we are talking, we could share even more. You may have questions I could answer. I am here. I'm leaving tomorrow morning and heading back to Elview because I have preaching appointments over there. And may God continue to bless you all. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you don't have another morning. That's what you need to think. Because today you're here, tomorrow you're gone. But if you know Christ, you don't have a problem. But if you don't know Christ, why not accept Him today? You need to have a relationship with Him. And those of you who know Christ, I hope you really have a relationship with Him. Huh? It's like Adam and him walking in the garden in the cool of the evening and talking with God. You pick a time that you can have. Don't be too busy for God. Pick a time that you can spend time alone with your Heavenly Father. Father, thank you again for this privilege. I pray that you will continue to bless this local assembly. Bless each one that is born again, blood washed, heaven bound. And to the one that is lost and on their way to a Christless eternity, speak to them, Lord, that they may make that change today by accepting you as Lord and Savior. Whatever need, whatever problems that may be represented in this congregation, you, this great God, can do great things in each life and cause them to have that good memory about the goodness of God and what He has done for us. Bless each one. Bless the word to their hearts. And continue to work until that day you would call us home to glory. For in Christ's name I do pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Thank you.
It's a blessing to hear from you this morning, George. We appreciate it very, very much. I encourage you to think about the things that He challenged us with, to remember God's Word, to remember that He will have the last word. And so this morning, as we get ready to wrap up, what is the Lord doing in your heart this morning? As He said, just because you're here this morning does not necessarily know that you mean that you have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never placed your faith in Him, I encourage you to come down to the front. One of the pastors would be happy to share with you from God's Word how you can be saved. And perhaps you were challenged. Maybe there's someone God's laying upon your heart to go and to reach out and to love and to serve, just like the pastor came and reached out to him as he was there on the streets. So I encourage you to lift your voices up as we worship. And if the Lord's working your heart, please come see one of the pastors in the front.